scripture. First, we'll read 1 John all the way to the back of the Bible, almost to Revelations. 1 John chapter 2, then we'll read 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter number 2. First John chapter 2. Find it, would you please stand as we will stay on the subject matter of forgiveness. Do we have our theme scripture? Let's pray. Father, we thank and praise you for this time that you are giving us together. We ask you now, Lord God, that you would break down every wall of separation that is keeping us from being right where you would want us to be. We desire to feast at your table, and we depend on you, God. We never could have made it to this point in life if it had not been for your grace and your mercy. So now, Lord, as we prepare to eat from your table, come, Lord, and feed us the manna we need for today. For, Lord, if you don't give us anything else, we thank you for today. And now, Father, come feed us in the depths of our soul, that we may come to know you in a more intimate way. Father, we need you, and we wait with anticipation for what you have for us. Let it bring about change to us. We're seeking to be strengthened from you and you alone. So, Father, we thank you. We love you. And, Father, as I stand here on holy ground, I tremble, knowing that I am not the preacher or the teacher. But I ask you to press down and push out the spirit of Felix, that your spirit may consume the vessel so that itch and ears may hear, Lord God, from you. We desire, Father, to hear from you. So consecrate me that I may be fit to be used. Father, I surrender and I ask you now to have your way and let your word come forward, your word with power, which is profound and prolific and all powerful. We believe this prayer lines up with your word. We consider it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning at verse number 12, John writes, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I just want to stop right there, and I want you to just look at somebody and tell them your sins are forgiven. Amen. It says your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Not for you, for his name's sake. Not because of something you did, for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children, because you have known the Father. I write to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Amen. Just looking at that passage of scripture, you just need to know that you have overcome the wicked one. There's no reason, and you might as well put this in your Rolodex, there's no reason for you to bring up Satan's name again, because you have overcome the wicked one. It's a wrap. He could never have no victory in your life. If there's turmoil in your life, it's because God is just getting your attention that he wants you to come closer. We're going to stop mentioning the evil one. It's time out for giving him glory. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now turn to 2 Chronicles. Chapter number 7. Second Chronicles number 7, chapter verse 12 again. Amen. You ready? Say amen. Beginning at verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Somebody say this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. Say this house. That my name may be there forever. Ooh, say forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as a covenant with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. I want to look back at verse number 14 where it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Heal their land. Heal their land. Turn from wickedness. Heal their land. Forgive their sin. Turn from wickedness. I want to just meditate on this topic. The power of forgiveness is in your turn. Tell your neighbor, it's your turn. You may be seated. As we look at two passages of text today, first I want to really try to extrapolate some wisdom as John is writing to us in 1 John. In this this letter, he's writing and he's speaking to an audience, and he first deals with the children, then he comes and deals with the fathers, and then he comes and deal with the young man, not really relating to specific ages, but making sure that he's covering all bases. He is speaking a message which is inclusive to the whole audience, whether you're a child, a young woman or man, or an elder. He is really bringing the text to life and letting us know something that is so powerful. Number one, he says, as children, we are forgiven. I see in the text, he wants us to know that we are forgiven because of Jesus' name's sake. He came that we may be forgiven. His whole entire purpose for coming here is to give us grace to forgive every one of our sin. And if we can get that right from the beginning, knowing that his purpose has already done a complete work, then we can begin to really embrace the power of forgiveness. He came to present such a powerful witnessing to us by, number one, forgiving every one of our sins. Thereby, we may be able to follow the leader and forgiving every other sin that is brought upon us. Listen, it does not matter who the sinner is or what they did to you. It only matters that we use the wisdom that is pointed out to us in 1 John, that forgiveness is powerful. It's powerful. Forgiveness really embarks change to whoever you are forgiving, because we truly do not deserve to be forgiven. All that we have done, we do not deserve to be forgiven. As a matter of fact, we can never come back and repay God for the things that we did wrong. It is only by grace and grace alone that we have been forgiven. God so much loved us that he sent his only son that we may be forgiven through believing in him. Jesus did not come to tell us to say, I'm sorry. He did not come to try to get an apology. He did not even come to bring up what went wrong with us. He came to give us forgiveness. John, next thing he does is he writes and he says to the fathers, I want you to embrace this, that he says, embrace relationship because you have known the Father. He says to the fathers, you have known the Father. He's saying that from the beginning of time, when I first saved you, now that you're older, you have known me from the beginning of time. In other words, you know what relationship is all about. He's really giving us a point of reference to understand that through the forgiveness that we can walk into relationship with him forever. He'll never break up with us. He'll never quit us. We can cheat on him and he'll never leave us. God is so awesome that man has walked out on you for one mistake and you keep making many mistakes. But he's married to you forever. He'll never leave you. No matter what you've done, he can't leave you. He cannot depart from you because this relationship is locked in. Ooh, ain't that good? That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Then he says to the young man, he said, young man, you have overcome the wicked one. And then he comes back and repeats again that you have overcome the wicked one. But the second time he repeats it, he says, because the word of God abides in you. The word of God, once the word of God gets in you, you can't get it out of you. The outside of you might act the fool, but the word of God in you will correct the outside of you that's acting a fool, because the word of God abides in you, and the word of God will give you victory over everything that's trying to conquer you. The word of God is what turns you back to God. The word of God that dwells in you every time you want to mess up. You can mess up if you want to, but God will pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on solid ground, because the word of God will turn you around. Turn you. The other thing that I noticed in the text is that he speaks to the Father and he repeats the same thing to the Father. He continues to focus on the relationship. But when he speaks to the young man, he deals with the perspective of abiding in him and then reminding him that we've already overcome the evil one. So he speaks two things to the young people so that we can know that we have Christ abiding in us. And no matter what, we have already overcame just because he's in us. It doesn't matter how big it is or how big the fighter is. It matters what's in you. I heard this said, it's not how big the fighter is, but it's how big the fight is in the person. And you have somebody greater than the world fighting inside of you. Hallelujah. That has already overcome. So I look at the text in 2 Chronicles, and I first want to tell you a little bit about King Solomon, as it's written in chapter number 1. Solomon requests the key thing from God. He asks God for wisdom. Chapter number 2, after God answers the request, he didn't ask God for money. He didn't ask God to fix the problem. He asked God for wisdom. I want to share this with you. If you get the wisdom of God, then you'll have the knowledge to know that God has placed the wisdom inside of you already. When you get the wisdom, you know that everything in you is equipped to accomplish everything that you run into. No matter how big it is, he's already given you the tools to climb whatever mountain it is that you have to climb. If you need to crawl, he'll take you under whatever you need to go under. If you need to go over it, he'll take you over it. But no matter what, he'll go with you, whatever you have to go through. He gets this wisdom, and then he begins to prepare to build the temple in chapter number 2. He starts a preparation period. And I want you to know, we have to prepare ourselves. See, some of us want to jump up and just run to church so that we could get in worship. But worship should have started when you got up this morning. So that when you get here, you're already on fire. Because somebody might straggle in and your fire will catch them on fire. If you just get up and start your worship, start preparing. No bride gets up and runs down to the wedding chapel. She spends weeks preparing herself for that wedding. Oh, goodness. No groom gets up and gets ready for a wedding without making sure his tux is lined up, his teeth are brushed, all of his groomsmen are in place. They were preparing to build before they started to build. Relationships take preparation. It's going to take you working on you. Oh, you might not have got that one. It's going to take you working on you. You can't just put everything on Jesus. He jumped inside of you, and now it's going to take you working on, oh goodness, you got to spend some time. The Bible in Jude 20 says, encourage yourself in the holy faith. You got to work on you. He gives you wisdom to know that there's a you that has to do some work too. If you didn't know before you got here, now you know. If you need to get you a sticky pad and write you some notes on the refrigerator, because I know you're going to stop by there. If you don't have time to encourage yourself, write you a little sticky note. I'm blessed. And when you see the sticky note, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You'll remember that you are blessed by the Most High God. And no matter whatever is going on in your life, I'm blessed. 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 In chapter number 3, he begins to build the temple of God. And he builds the temple. Chapter number 4, after the temple is built, he begins to bring in everything that goes in the temple. The furniture comes into the temple. Chapter number 5, he brings the ark into the temple. I'm a numbers guy. I know that 5 represents grace. The temple is nothing unless grace is in the temple. When they brought the ark into the temple, that represents the presence of God. There will be no church without the presence of God. And so no matter what they have done, if his presence wasn't in it, then it wasn't no experience of God. And what am I saying? That it's going to take the very presence of God for you to have worship service. And the presence of God should already be in the temple when you get to the temple. So that you bring in the presence of, oh goodness, you are the ark of God when you come into the temple. Chapter number 6, he begins to pray to dedicate the temple unto God. Everything that man's hands had done, he was turning it back and said, God, it's all yours because everything comes from you and everything belongs to you and everything will return to you. And so we're going to dedicate it to you right where it is because it's already yours. So man then was aligning himself to, listen, to reference God as being the all in all. Chapter number 7. Here we are. Now in this chapter, it starts off, it says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. I really missed the by night. I read this scripture many times. But God could have came to Solomon at any time. But he came to him by night. Early shall I seek you. Early shall I call on you. But the Bible says that he didn't come to him until night. He might have been calling on him all day, but he didn't show up until night, because God had to show up in a dark moment so that he could reveal his light. That's why he allowed you to get in your dark moment so that he could show up to you at night. Can you get the picture, the glimpse and gleams of what God was doing then, he's doing now, that he shows up late in the midnight hour. He showed up when Paul and Silas was praising him in the jail cell, late in the midnight hour. He shows up. Tell your neighbor, it's not too late. Mm-hmm. I know you've been calling on him. You've been, like the song said, you've been waiting for your breakthrough. Don't get discouraged. It's not too late. Don't get discouraged.
He said he appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Do you remember before you got saved, you began to cry out to God and you was asking him for help and you didn't even know if he was real or not? You just knew something needed to help you. Huh? You know, listen, you can understand God, he shows up at night and everything that he has chosen, everything that he has called, those who are called by God will come to God. He says, my sheep know my voice. And when you were crying out to God, God called on you and chose you and pulled you out of darkness and brought you into light so that you can be his sanctified house. God chose you to be the vessel that he may tabernacle in. God chose you so that he could dwell in you. God didn't choose you so you could have all his stuff. He chose you so he could show off his stuff. That's why God blesses you, because he knows he could trust you with everything that he gives you. But first, you've got to allow him to sanctify you. God, just clean me up. Clean that dirty toenail I got that I keep slipping up on. God, cover, clean me up. Chosen. He says he's chosen you for himself. He didn't choose you for you. He chose you for himself. He chose that house in the Old Testament where they worshiped in the house of God. In the New Testament, you are the house of God. And he chose that. He chose you for himself. And if he chose you for himself, everything that you do should be for him. So he says to him, he says, now get this, so you don't be discouraged no more. He says, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, he says, when I do it, if I hold back the very thing that is necessary to feed you, it's not Satan. He said, if I do it, if I choose to do something, don't trip. If you belong to me, don't trip. If I choose to shut up heaven and there's no rain, don't trip. I'm still your God. Then he said, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I choose to allow somebody to come in your life that takes your stuff, if I choose to do that, don't you blame Satan. That's my job. He ain't getting no credit for what I'm doing in your life. If I choose to do it. If I choose to let him come in and take everything. He says, or if I send pestilence among my people. If all hell is breaking loose, if I do it, don't you start giving nobody credit for it. If things don't look right and folks aren't acting right, if even you start to act a fool, don't trip. It's not you that's in control. I'm still in control. Look, the truth be told, God can stop you from doing anything he wants to stop you from doing when he wants to stop you from doing it. So quit tripping over what you did wrong. God used what you did wrong so that he could bring you to right. Because somebody looked at you fall. But when God raises you up, God said, I'm going to raise you. Oh, goodness. Somebody needs to see how big your God is. God establishes that he's all powerful. He controls every spirit. And we have to understand, just because you go through, it's not about you. Take whatever God gives you and use it for the good, that he may be glorified. So he says, after he establishes all of that, he says, now, if you're really my people, you have to understand that there's going to be some times that don't look good. But don't trip. I'm up to something. So he said, somebody do you wrong? Don't look at them. Look at where it came from. So then we notice and understand, as Paul said, this war is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities. One thing that I've noticed lately, I've been really trying to perfect my relationship with my wife. I've been really working on that. But can I just be honest with you? I'm still human. And I found myself, whenever I seen something that she did wrong, I could give grace to a whole lot of folks. But when she did something wrong, I get a little twisted up attitude. Can you imagine that? The very one that washed my dirty underwear, the very one that feeds me and cooks my, I got issues. I can admit, and I told God, God, you got to help me. Help me. Help me. You need to help me. I done got this thing twisted. I need your help. God began to work on me and told me, he put it in my spirit, every time she does something wrong, you rejoice in me. Because I'm allowing her to do stuff to irritate you so that I can get more of you. And if you don't come to me on your own, I'm going to make the very one that you love the most to irritate you, because I want more of you. And so I've been staying up late praising God. I've been waking up early praising God, because I know that God is up to bringing me closer to him. He made me for him. Oh, so God, he says, my people, you my people, and this is my thing, and don't get irritated with me doing my thing. Just come talk to me about my thing, because this is my work and you don't know my secrets, but I'm working out a perfected thing for you. But that's what you got to master, turn into perfection instead of turning into evil, because I'm the perfected one. And if you need, oh goodness, if you need anything, you need to turn to perfection so that I can perfect your situation. If you ever want perfection to come into your situation, then you gotta look up to perfection so that he can move in your life. Amen. Well, I got a couple more minutes. But he said to my people, he establishes that he's in control. He establishes that we are his people. We don't even belong to ourselves no more. We belong to him. Says, so then he says, if my people, if my people, he does not say if anything else, he said my people, which means that he's talking to us. He says, if my people who are called by my name, number one, if you wasn't called by God, then you can't hear this word. This word is way over your head. But if you called by God, this word is hitting your spirit in a way that you can't even describe. Where's all this coming from? Woo-wee. How does this preacher know all my business? I don't know nothing about your business. God knows all your business, and he called you to be his people. Who are called, he said, my people who are called. So the first thing he said, if you're called of God, meaning you didn't make the move. God called you. You know how it is. You meet somebody and you give them your number and you get theirs too, but you don't call them. I'm going to wait for him. Because if he calls, that means he has an interest in you. And God called you because he had an interest in you. As dirty and filthy as we were, he still placed the call. I want you just like you are. Stop trying to clean up everything and come here. I want you just the way you are. I have something that will clean you all the way up. You miss a few spots. You can't get back. You can't get back. I got your back covered. I'll get all good. You are called. That's number one. Number two, he said, if you're called by him, he said, I'm going to wait on you to humble yourself. As long as you are walking around with your egotistical self. Here's how you know you got ego. Ego will stop you from forgiving people. How do you know you've forgiven them or not? If you are still talking about it and have the person attached to it, then you have not forgiven them. Oh, goodness, I'm going to get to that in a minute. But he said, if my people would humble themselves, humility takes you to a point, as it did Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, the very ones that were crucifying him, he said, Father, forgive them. Wait a minute. In other words, he disassociated what was happening to him and did not charge that to them because he knew the Father had set this up from the beginning. And that's what you need to know, that God set it up from the beginning. It's not their fault. God just used them to, oh goodness, to attack you and hurt you. So disassociate the sin that they did against you so that you can humble yourself before God. Sometimes it takes an all-night whooping to get us in a humble position. They whooped Jesus all night, but he humbled himself. The third thing he says, and pray. Prayer is communication with God. Now, the priest used to communicate for the people. But now, you get to communicate by yourself. You get to talk. Listen, you get to have a conversation with the Most High God. And you say, well, we like talking to people. Why is it that we like talking to people so much? More than we like talking to God. Because, let me break some news to you. Because your faith ain't all the way there yet. Huh? Because faith coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. So most of your conversation should be here in the word of God. But your conversation is more with people. And so we find ourselves looking for people, and then we blame the very people that do us wrong. When if we would have been in the word, then we wouldn't have never blamed them, because we would have knew that it was a God move and not a them move. And like Joseph did, he never blamed his brothers. He said, it wasn't you that did all that. You ain't getting no credit. This was God's work. He said, pray, talk to God. You can be driving your car and having a conversation with God. Be God-minded. Let every thought be of God. Talk about him and talk to him. Go to bed talking to him. Wake up talking to him. In between the day,
talk to them. Now, here's some breaking news, and listen to what the Spirit is saying to you, and stop rejecting what the Spirit is saying. If the Spirit is telling you to let it go, let it go. What you holding on to something for? And the Spirit has already told you to just let it go. God's trying to put something else in your hand, and you walking around holding on to stuff you don't have no business holding on to. Let go so God can bless you with the things of God. Talk to God. Then he says, number 4, he says, he furnished the temple. The fourth thing he says here, he says, seek God. Humble yourselves and seek him. What does seek mean? Go after him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added. Now, we got it twisted because we think it said, seek ye first the dumb king. Let me help you. It says kingdom, but we say dumb king because we go after his dominion before we go after him. What do I mean? What do I mean? Well, you keep asking God for stuff, but you should be asking him for him. Boy, we better put that in the paper. When you begin to go after God, that's what, seek ye first the king. Go. It don't even say find him. When I used to play hide and go seek, in order to win the game, you got to find him. In order to win here, you don't even have to find him. All you got to do is seek him. If you go looking for God, that moves God. If your heart is just searching for God, you don't have to know all the scriptures. All you have to do is have a heart that wants God. The fifth thing he says, he said, and then turn from sin. Now get this. It says, turn from sin. Sixth thing it says, then it says, and he'll hear from heaven. Wait, your turn from sin makes God hear from heaven. Then it says, I'll heal your land. What is your land? Everything. Everywhere you go is your land, because he's your God and the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And the truth be told, you've been hurt on your own land. But he said, I'll heal it. But he won't heal it until after he hears from heaven. So then, turning, he said, if my people will turn from their wicked ways. You got some. But I say, turn from them. He says, by turning from them, you will cause a reaction in heaven. If you turn from you, not my will, but thy will be done. Don't you remember Jesus was on the cross? Before he went, he said, not my will, thy will be done. In other words, he was turning from the humanness so that he could hear from heaven. We have to be able to turn. Turning, he said, I'll forgive this. Look, you have the power to move heaven. The turn produces is obedience. When you obey God, you'll turn. What did Jesus say? Turn the other cheek. There's power in turning. Obedience is to turn from your wicked way. Because you say, I dare that person to do that to me. Who do they think they are? That's you. Turn from that. That will never get you nowhere. I'm just going, that person ain't ever going to be in my life again. You don't even belong to you. Ain't your life no more. It's Jesus' life through you. The time something happened, you take it personal. Let's go
Go back to the beginning. God said, I do it. He said, your job is to keep on turning. You have been interrupted in the fullest development of your life. Obedience, the power is in your turn. Because if you were supposed to be one way, the old you wouldn't forgive them. But the new you that turns and says, it doesn't matter, I just forgive you. You release the person from bondage because you have placed forgiveness on them. Now they see the light of God. But because you have not turned back to them and let them know the power is in forgiveness and you can set them free. And when you turn and set them free, it frees you. And so God keeps working on you. And then you keep going into the turn. And then you keep turning back to you. But when you keep turning with God, he is working on something. And then you turn and you get hit with something else, but you keep doing it God's way. So you turn to the right again. And every time somebody goes left on you, you keep turning right. And the power, and you notice the power is in your turn. And they interrupt you here and you turn again. But you keep forgiving them as you turn because you know the Father is working on you in the middle of the turn. And so you turn again. And then the power of forgiveness is working now. Because you came in one way, but you don't know how to leave that life that you came in through. You are the caterpillar, and you keep holding on to you. But God says, turn again. And then the more you turn, God says, I got to cover you while you turn. So he begins to spin stuff around you so that people can't see you being transformed. So you turn again. And as you turn, you're turning into the hand of God, and you turn again. And then when God finished turning you, you come out of the cocoon and the fullness of God. You were once crawling and now you're soaring. Oh, God. God says, when you get your turn together, I'm going to forgive everything. Then he said, and I'm going to heal your land. I'm going to heal the very thing that's been hurting you. But I can't heal it until you turn to me. And that's what I want to tell you today. You're already forgiven, but your next move is a right turn. Release everything left and turn right. Even Beyonce said, put it in a box to the left. Turn right. All that stuff to the left need to be boxed up and sent to the pit of hell. You need to turn to the right and forgive everybody for whatever happened to you, and know that God was in control in the beginning, he's in control in the middle, and he's going to be in control in the end. And every believer in here that loves God ought to give him praise for being in control. You have been endued with power. You have the power not only to change the situations that are trying to take you under. You have the power to change the lives of others by doing the right turn. When you turn to God, not only does he change you, but he changes everything around you. But first, he changes you. And some of you may have been having trouble with the turn. Because the truth be told, stuff hurts. But I remember something that my trainer told me. Hurt is good for you. No pain, no gain. Yeah, but he hurt me good. God heals hurt. Without hurt, how would you know he's God? They did it, but God wanted them to. I know, why would God allow such a thing? I don't know, but he's God. That's what I do know. I know him to be sovereign, which means he's in control of everything. And some time ago, I felt guilty about all the things I had done wrong. I'm trying to make it up to God. I'll never be able to make it. God said, what you doing? You can't make that up. That's forgiven. Accept that. I'm in control of you too. I had to get that. He said, I'm in control of you too. He said, I'm more powerful than you. I could have stopped you if I wanted to. He said, didn't you hear Paul? Paul said, all things work together for the good. Somebody had to know you was a character that you used to be so that they'll know that I did it, that I changed you. That's what that atheist told me. He said, I believe in God now because couldn't nothing have changed you. And we have to know and understand God is up to something. Get our minds out of it and just go into your turn. Next time somebody do you wrong, just turn. And they say, what you doing? I say, I'm forgiving you. What do you mean you're forgiving me? I say, I'm turning from the way I would have responded. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to say nothing. All you got to do is just. And as you turn, just begin to see God. Begin to see him. And as you see him, you'll realize it's not about you. And you'll be able to forgive. It's all in the turn. It's all in the turn. Jesus died. He took his turn for us so that we could take our turn for somebody else. That turn is not about you, even though he's going to bless you in it. The turn is releasing light on a dark situation. You are 100% changing the individual that hurt you by turning and loving them in the middle of pain. That's what Jesus did for us. All this sin that we have done, he said, I died for it. And all you have to do is turn and say, I believe. He says, and I'll come in and I'll help you through every turn in your life. And somebody might be here today that says, I need that power of God in my life. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Never made a confession. Never said that before. Never. The Bible says, confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. He said, I'm going to come in and save you and make you my people. Somebody may have come today without knowing where their salvation is.